Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're over in the book of Luke chapter 19. And what we're going to look at this morning is we are going to look at the parable of the 10 pounds. And the parable of the 10 pounds has something very important to say to us today. Although this was many years ago when Jesus gave this parable to those who were gathered around him, it has a message for us. And I'm going to read this entire parable. It's verses 11 through 27. And then we're going to go through it more slowly, and we're going to hit a key verse, and you're going to see what that is, and I'll mention it when I read it. So Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 11, God, we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon the reading of your word, God, upon this sharing today, God. Lord, did it be words that you want spoken, not what I think, God, but what needs to be said to us that are here today. God, we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. And that's where we're going to dwell today. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. And those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And so as we look at this morning, what kind of a servant are you? What kind of a child of God are you? Are you that one that received that 1 pound from the Lord and you were able to bring back 10 pounds? Are you that one that received that 1 pound from the Lord and you can bring back 5 pounds? Or are you that one that received that 1 pound from the Lord and did nothing with it? And the message, the main message that Jesus had with this here was verse 13, to occupy until I come, to occupy until I come. And so in this world that we're living, in the church world that we're living today, the churches of today, they are very busy. Churches are very busy. Pentecostal, denominational, they're very busy. You can look at your local newspaper on Saturdays. They put the church directories in there. There's some churches that every week it's a list of things and activities that they're going to do. But churches that are busy, including our own church, including ourselves, are we doing what God has given us to do? We can be busy basically doing nothing. Have you ever been busy doing nothing? And what do you mean by that? You're at home, you have the day off, and your spouse and has to go out and work and is away, and they come back home, and they'll say, well, what did you do today? And you really can't come up with a specific answer of what you did that day. You just were busy that day. Sometimes we're just busy doing nothing. And in the kingdom of God, we can be the same way. We can think that we're busy for the Lord, but we're busy doing nothing. nothing. We need to have a reason. We need to have a goal. We need to have a purpose in our service to God. We need to have a mission in our service to God. We just don't get up every day and just go through that day and get to the end of the day and say, "Oh, thank you, God, I made it through another day." What's your purpose and your reason for living? What goals do you have set for this week that lies ahead of us? What goals do you have set for today? What goals do you have set for tomorrow? And you say, "Well, I don't have any goals." That's why we don't get anything done, because we don't have any goals. You can take your own house, all of the work and the chores that you have to do there. If you don't set I know what a goal of a lot of people were this past weekend, yesterday in particular, and their main goal was to get their lawns cut, because we had a week of rain and the grass grew like weeds. And for some of us, it was just weeds that grew. And so our goal was to get our grass cut. And many people were able to accomplish that. And so in your home, you set goals for a task that needs done. You set a date. You set a time. I'm going to do this on this day. It's something that's just been waiting for me too long. I've been sort of dreading even trying to jump into this and get this chore done, but this is the day and the time that I have chosen. And then you go, and you go towards that goal, and when you accomplish that goal, you feel good about yourself. You got something accomplished. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's many people that are serving God that have no goals. They have no purpose. They have no reason. The only thing that they know is they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and when God calls them home or the trumpet sounds, they know beyond the shadow of a doubt they're going to go and be with the Lord. But as far as working for God, they don't have any goal. They don't have any purpose. They don't have any reason. There was a man many years ago, and I think he was from Shamokin, Pennsylvania. That's quite a name. You look that up. There is a town called Shamokin, Pennsylvania. I might be saying it wrong. And he had a goal that every day, and you might think, "Well, this is a tall task," but sometimes if we don't challenge ourselves, we will get nothing done. And his goal was to be able to lead somebody to one person to the Lord every day. And he was big going out on street witness and giving out tracts and looking for an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. That would be a good goal to set. God, my goal for Monday is that I'm going to have an opportunity to tell somebody about you, somebody that doesn't know you. And you set that goal and you pray in that way, and God will open those opportunities. So this man would lead a soul to the Lord every day, and it happened every day, every day. And there was one day when he got home at the end of the day and he realized that he hadn't won a soul to Lord that day, hadn't led not one person to Christ that day. And he thought, "What am I going to do?" And I don't remember the details to the story, just the basics of it I do remember. And he got up, it might have been 11 o'clock at night, it might have been near midnight, and he got up and he went to one of the local supermarkets that he felt impressed to go to. And while he was in that supermarket, I believe it was the manager that was on duty that night, he was able to lead him to Christ, because that was his goal, that he wanted to win a soul to Christ every day. Some of us, it would even be a good thing to set a goal, and we got to get them. I'm going to get some ordered and maybe get some of those chick tracks there called the little booklets, because you got to have something that's going to be easy on the eyes. They're going to look at that, and it's going to be easy to read. If you just hand out a regular gospel tract, probably in this country, most people are not even going to look at those. They'll just lay them aside because of religious propaganda that's out there by some cults and so-called religious organizations, and so that they'll just lay it aside thinking you're one of them. But your goal could be, I'm going to give out two gospel tracts a day, and I'm not just going to randomly give them. I'm going to set the goal that the Spirit is going to lead me on who to give this to, and so I'm going to look into that. I know they're a little bit on the expensive side, but unless somebody knows of other ones in the congregation here, you can talk to me. But the Chick Track publications, they're not the cheapest, but they have a strong message of salvation in them. And you could set that as your goal. Amen. That gift that God has given to you. So many times we don't accomplish anything because we don't have no goal. We're like the man that was given that 1 pound. He didn't have any goal with that pound. He just was happy that he had it. And that's the way many of us are. We're happy with our salvation. We're happy that we know that we're blood bought. We know that when we go to church, we feel the moving and the Spirit of God. And hopefully you feel it from time to time in your daily life, from day to day and in your homes, and you're happy with that. But there's more to it than that. God didn't save you just to make you feel good. just to make you have a smile on your face, just to make you feel good, just to fill you up with the joy of the Lord. And people look at you like, wow, what's wrong with them? God saved you for a purpose and for a reason. Amen. And there's that song. Maybe we'll sing in a little bit. I don't know all the words to it, but you are called out for a purpose. You're called out for a reason. God's got something that he wants you to do. Every one of you are called out by God for a purpose and for a reason. And so are we as the church, are we just occupying? Are we just occupying? Amen. Are we occupying like God wants us to do? And how is it that God wants us to occupy? He wants us to be busy about the Father's business. And we think about Jesus. He was just young, classified as a child yet, maybe around 12 years old. Amen. History tells us that. And they went into Jerusalem, I believe it was, or into their cities to be counted. It might have been a census that was going on. I can't remember the details, but I remember this part of it. And they all left and went, and they were a day's journey out of that city, and they realized Jesus wasn't there. And so mother and father weren't happy. You can imagine. Amen. You discover a day later that your kid's not with the group like he should be, and they returned to the place, and they found Jesus in the temple, and he was teaching the scholars, and he got scolded a little bit by his mother, but Jesus turned to her and he says, "Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" We need to be about the Father's business today. And the Father's business is for souls to come into the kingdom of God. Amen. The Father's business, amen, isn't just to bless you. The Father's business isn't just for you to have a fat bank account, to have a good paying job, to have your cupboards full, to have the best clothing. God wants us to have those things. I believe that God can give them to you. But the Father's main business is that souls come into the kingdom of God. Amen. Even the Father's main business isn't the healing of the body. Yes, God wants to heal bodies, amen, but he wants to save souls. You can get into heaven with a sick body, but you can't get into heaven with a sick soul. Amen. We need to catch a glimpse of what the vision of God is, what the purpose of God is. And if God were in this town today, if Jesus were in this town today, would he be here just to bless us, just to bless us abundantly, just to bask in his presence and to be happy to be around him? That would be the benefit of some of him being here today. But his main goal, if he were in Cain today, would be to see the lost coming into the kingdom of God. Amen. To get out into the highways and into the byways and compel people to come in. Amen. We must be convinced that this is what God wants. Amen. And it's the talent that he has given you. And what are you doing with that talent? Are you just so... That man that had that talent... Amen. And he might have went and buried it. I can't remember exactly what he did with it, the one that had that one talent. But he didn't take it and put it to usury. But he was happy to have that. He felt good having that. And we're the same way. We feel good having Jesus. We feel good having that security in our hearts that we know that we're going to make heaven our home. Amen. When God calls us or when the trumpet sounds. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. God wants us to go out and to share with others. Amen. And so are we as the church occupying like God wants us to occupy? Amen. Or are we as the church, have we just settled into the glories of the past? Oh, I remember what it used to be like. I remember the old time singing, preaching, praying, and shouting as the song goes. I remember people falling prostrate on the floor. I remember people spinning in circles. I remember people getting drunk in the spirit. I remember people having a laughing spirit come over them. I remember seeing miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. I remember people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. I remember people coming to these altars and repenting of their sins. And we have to be careful that we just don't settle in the glories of the past. Amen. The glories of the past have their place. Amen. And they can help and encourage us today. But many have just settled in the glories of the past. And what are they doing now? There are many churches now that are just waiting for the return of the Lord. That's not a bad thing in and of itself, but they're not busy doing what God wants them to do now. He never said, stop witnessing. Stop witnessing in the last days. Don't let your light shine. Don't tell people about me anymore. Just lock yourself in a room somewhere and pray. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Help. help me, Jesus, save me. I want you to come. I'm waiting for you to come. I don't know what holds you up. And there's many people that have no concern for lost souls. Amen. God wants us to occupy until he comes. He wants us to keep letting people know about Jesus. And occupy, literally, it means to be busy, to carry on business, to take care of business, to keep busy until I return. We should keep sending out missionaries until Jesus returns. Amen. There should still be people that are called into the ministry, young men and women that are called into the ministry to work for God. God's not going to stop calling men and women into ministry. God's not going to stop calling people to be missionaries. His coming is so close, and maybe that'll never come to a realization for that individual. God is still calling today. He wants us to keep busy until he returns. He wants us to be witnessing for him until he returns. Amen. He wants us to be letting our light shine for him until he returns. And so in verse 13, God has given us the resources to go out there and do what he wants us to do. In verse 13, he called his 10 servants, and he delivered unto them 10 pounds. He delivered unto them 10 pounds. God gives us the resources to accomplish his work. Amen. It's not that I have to be wealthy. Amen. It's God's work. God will supply for the needs. Amen. God will take care of it. He just wants us to get the word out there. Amen. And so he invested in each one of these servants. Amen. And who did he invest it from? It was from his riches. It was from what he had. They didn't have anything, but he invested in them. We didn't have anything. We were nothing without Christ. But he invested his life within us, and he lives within us if we have accepted him as our Savior. Amen. And they were to use what he had blessed them with for the advancement of his kingdom. God didn't save you just to make you feel good. Amen. God didn't save you just to save you from misery that's in this world. God saved you because he wants you to go out there and spread this good news to others. Amen. He has invested in you. He has given you the resources. And then at the last part of this verse 13, he gave us the resources, and then he gave us the responsibility. And what is the responsibility? To occupy until I come. To stay busy until I come. Amen. What does it mean? Amen. To occupy till I come. Some people means, and you'll go by some motels, not so much anymore, but I'm old enough. I can remember in the last days, amen, in the old days, I could remember, you'd be driving down the road, and the motels would have a sign that said vacancy. Or it would have a sign that said no vacancy. No vacancy. And so what's that saying to us today? It doesn't mean, amen, to occupy till I come doesn't mean that we just take up space. God just doesn't want you to take up space in a church, in a chair on Sunday morning in a church somewhere. He just doesn't want us to fill a space. Amen. He doesn't want, and it doesn't mean if we're occupying till he comes, it doesn't mean just wait until I come. Occupy till I come. Just wait until I come. He didn't say take up space. He didn't say just wait until I come. Amen. And he didn't say to us, occupy till I come. Oh, pastor, I'm an occupier. I spend all my time occupied right in my recliner chair until the Lord comes, and I'm laying in that chair and I'm saying, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm occupying something. Amen. He doesn't want us to occupy the recliner. Amen. When he said occupy till I come, he didn't mean just hang out, until I return. Just be grateful for the salvation you got. There's no responsibility you have. I've done all the work. You just hang on to the end. And he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'm just enduring. I'm just hanging on. That's what it was not talking about, that. The word occupy, it's not a passive word. It's not, well, okay, it'll just happen. And then he gives the definition of what occupy means. Amen. In verse 15, it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained for the trading. He was telling them to not worry about the future kingdom in the interpretation of this parable here, because they wanted the kingdom of God to come immediately, and that's in verse 11. And here he was instructing them to not worry about the future kingdom, but to take care of business today. There are so many Christians that are, and they don't like this word perhaps, but they are so worried and so taken up with the future of this world and what the book of Revelations is saying and how the Revelations is unfolding through prophecy in the world today. It's okay to be somewhat aware of those things, but that is not to occupy all of our time. Many people, it's occupying all of their time. Amen. They're just talking about the signs of the time. I shared that with somebody this week. I'm done looking for the signs of the time. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet now. Amen. But there's people that do that. They get so occupied with the future kingdom of Christ. They get so occupied with Bible prophecy that they're not doing what God wants them to do now. And I think sometimes for that reason, the Lord doesn't give us a whole lot of insight into what that future kingdom's going to be here on the earth. There's enough in there to get us excited. Amen. But he doesn't want us to occupy ourselves with that. But what were these people to do? They were waiting for that kingdom to be set up now. Amen. He knew that he was going to soon leave them, but they were given a great work to do. And Jesus gave them what they needed to do to occupy until he returned. God has given us enough things to do that we can stay busy until he returns in the kingdom of God. Amen. And so the citizens of the kingdom of God that we looked at in verse 15 there, the citizens here in this kingdom, they hated the nobleman. They didn't want him to reign over them. Amen. And doesn't that sound like what happened in John chapter 1 and verse 11? Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. They're not all going to receive your message with gladness for various reasons. It's not going to happen. This world hated Jesus. They didn't like the idea of Jesus reigning over them. They didn't want that to happen. Amen. The world that we're living in today, they don't mind a baby Jesus. They don't mind going to church at Christmas time. They don't mind a Jesus hanging on a cross. They don't mind going to church at Easter time. But what they don't want this Jesus to be king over their life. Amen. And that's where it makes the difference in your life and in my life. I just don't want the baby Jesus. I just don't want the Jesus that hung on the cross. But I want that Jesus to be king in my life. I want him to rule and reign in my life. And that's only going to happen as you build into that personal relationship with him and you follow hard after him. And so these people, they didn't want to have him as a king. And the world today is the same way. They want Jesus in the manger. They want that little baby. They want the Jesus on the cross, but they don't want a Jesus that's going to be a king and lord over them and give them things to do and tell them what to do. So in verses 17 and 19, as we look through this, it talks about the faithful servants, and their reports is in verse 16 and 18. And so these faithful servants, what kind of servant are you today? These faithful servants realized that if the Lord hadn't invested in them, they couldn't have done anything. We got to realize we are nothing without God. Without him, I can do nothing. With him, I can do all things. These faithful servants, the faithful servants realize that everything that we do is because of him. He gives us the strength, the might, the ability, the talents to do it. Amen. And we recognize that. And then in verses 20 through 24, there was the rebuke of the unfaithful report. And the servants there, the unfaithful, gave their reports in 20 and 21. And this man admits that he did nothing with the pound. He didn't even do as he was instructed, because what was he instructed to do? To occupy until I come, to stay busy until I come. He didn't even do that. And God gifts each of us to do something. God has gifted each one of us here this morning to do something for him. Amen. But and what are you doing for him today? Are you occupying until he comes? And so this nobleman, he gifted all 10 of his servants. Amen. All 10 of his servants. It was God's gift to each one. Amen. And God has gifted each one today for his service. God has gifted everyone in here today to do something in his kingdom and in his service. Yet there are many that are doing nothing for God. They're just going to church, and that's the extent of their service to God. God wants us to be busy for him. And we need to question yourself today. I need to question myself. What am I doing? What are you doing with what the Lord has given you. Amen. Well, what has he given me? He's given you salvation. What are you doing with that salvation that you have? Are you sharing the good news with others? Are you excited about it? Does it pain you when you see people in the depths of sin and you see the enemy of their soul just tearing their lives up? Does that bother you? Does that work on you? What are you doing with what the Lord has given you? Amen. And there's many that would have to honestly say, and I hope there's none here this morning that's in this condition, but you would have to say, I'm not doing much with what the Lord gave me. I'm just happy that I'm saved. You know, the old saying, us four and no more. My wife, I, my two kids, that's good enough for me. Amen. Have you laid aside what God has given you? This unfaithful servant, he laid aside what God had given them. Amen. And there's many reasons why people don't do anything with what God has commanded and what God wants them to do. Amen. There's many reasons either that they're lazy, they're afraid, they don't want to get involved, they fear failure. Don't fear failure. Let your light shine for Jesus. Amen. And it's not you that they're rejecting, it's Jesus that they're rejecting. Amen. They fear failure. Amen. There's some people that are not busy for the Lord simply because they don't care. They're just so content in their salvation. They're so sanctimonious. They're so self-righteous with what they experienced in God that they're not going to share it with anybody else. Amen. Some people just simply don't care. And then the Lord had a rebuke for them in verses 22 through 24. Amen. This servant admitted that he didn't do anything. Amen. With the pound that he had received, he didn't increase it as the others did. What was his problem? And here was his problem. And this is where, sadly, many Christians find themselves. And I hope you don't find yourself here today. They don't have any interest in advancing the kingdom of God. They're just hanging on. I just hope I can hang on to my salvation. I just hope that I can make it to heaven. It's only going to be by the mercy and grace of God. I just don't care about anybody else. It's just myself that I'm worried about. We need to have interest in advancing the Lord's kingdom here on this earth. In verse 24 through 26, the pound that he had was taken from him, and it was given to the one who had 10 pounds. And the people back then didn't think what it was right. Didn't think it was right. So what did this man do that had the 1 pound that did nothing with it? He lost what he didn't use. Be careful. Some people think you can't lose your salvation. God will never take it away from you, but you can cast it aside and say thanks, but no thanks. And so this man lost what he wouldn't use. Perhaps God will take away a gift that he has given you, and he'll give it to somebody else because you won't obey God. You won't do what God wants you to do. And he knows this servant over here, I gave him 1 pound and he increased it to 10 pounds. So this one that didn't do anything with the talents and abilities that I gave him that just sits idly by the wayside, I'm going to take what I blessed him with and I'm going to give it to the man that now has 10 pounds. God works that way. God works that way. Amen. When he had given to another, he gave it to another who already had 10 pounds. Why? Because he had proven himself to be a faithful servant. If you don't use the gifts that God has given you, God just might give them to somebody else. That's a scary thought. I don't want to take what God's given me and to give it to somebody else and God to take that and give it to somebody else. Do you want someone else to get your blessing? God has given every believer gifts to serve him. Gifts and abilities and talents, but people always have a reason that they don't work for God. They won't listen. They're rejecting me, and I don't feel adequate, and I don't think I know enough of the scripture. Maybe my preacher could do that, but I'm not up to the task. I can't do that. Amen. Remember, Jesus says, occupy until I come. And that means to tend to my business until I return. He was leaving them. He wanted them to tend to his business. What was his business? Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Another place he said, heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. We're supposed to be doing those things today. How's that working in your life? How's that working in my life? God wants us to do that because one day we're going to answer to God for the gifts that he has given us. have we done with them? What have you done with that salvation that I gave you? You freely accepted it. I freely gave it, but what have you done with it? Amen. And it's not just salvation and things, those gifts that God gives us, the abilities that he gives us. He gives us money. He gives us possessions. You have your hands. You have your mouth. You have your feet. What are you doing with those things? Are you advancing the kingdom of God? That's what we should be doing. And in verses 14, and then you could read verse 27, it shows the end result of those who rejected the Lord, who did nothing. Those who reject Jesus are going to face destruction. They're going to be judged by God. You can't play games with God. He gave this salvation to us freely, but he wants you to do something with it. Not just keep it for yourself. Oh, that song, and it's a good song. I'm saved and so glad that I am. I'm saved and so glad that I am. I'm saved and so glad that I am. I'm so glad that I am. That's a good song to sing. I can feel good about myself, but it's more than that. God wants you to do something with what you got. Anything in your life or heart that goes against God, that's a rejection of God. If you have anything in your life or in your heart that goes against God's word, that's a rejection of truth. That's a rejection of God. And then in closing this morning, are you faithfully serving God? Sister Judy, she can come up to the music. We're going to try this song in a minute here. Are you faithfully serving to God? There's rewards for faithful servants. Well, I don't care if I don't get any rewards or awards when I get to heaven. I'll just be happy when I get there. You know, the old song, just give me a cabin in a corner of glory land. At least I'm in. You know, I might be in by the skin of my teeth, but at least I'm in. We want to triumphantly enter into heaven. We don't want to enter heaven with some remorse in our hearts and some sorrow because of things that we knew we should have done for God that we didn't do. Do what it is that God wants you to do. Amen. And so the rewards are for faithful servants. It's not because you do more than others, but that you did what you could with what God has given you. You can only do what God has given you to do with. You can only use that. I'm going to read that again. It's not that you did more than others, but that you did what you could with what God gave you. What has God given you? Do with that. We can't be a Franklin Graham, gives out all these care packages at Christmas time and other things that he does to go help areas when there's big storms and that and things going on in the world. They'll fly and they'll help these people. You can compare yourself to some others that are doing a whole lot for God, and then we tend to think, I'm not doing anything for God. You might only have that one talent, but you might only have that 1 pound, but you got to do what it is that God wants you to do with it. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. I don't know if you know the words to that song. I don't know if they have them on the spring. You are called out for a purpose. Amen. Called out. Do you know that song? It's in the book. What book's it in? Huh? I can't hear you. Oh, it's in a book back there. Does anybody here know that song? Amen. You are called out for a purpose, called out as his servants, called out. Oh, called out. Oh, you are called out to be a witness, called out to show forgiveness, called out. Son of God, child, you've been called out, for you are called out for a purpose, called out to be of service, called out to show forgiveness, called out. Oh, you are called out. Oh, yes, you are called out. Oh, child of God, you've been called out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help each one of us that are gathered here this morning. God, that we'll realize that we are called out for a purpose and for a reason. God, and we will discover what that purpose and reason is. God, we will start. Every one of us can set goals. God, help us to set goals in our minds and in our hearts right now. Spirit of God, speak unto us, God. What is it that you want me to do this week? God, what's my goal for this week as far as advancing your kingdom? God, for the advancement of the kingdom of God, what is it that you have for me to do this week, God? Lord, speak to my heart today, God. Lord, that I occupy until you come, that I be busy for you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Help us, God, Lord, to advance the cause of the gospel, the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus. You know what many of us do? And I find myself there sometimes. We complain about everything around us and how terrible it's getting and how bad it's getting, and there's nothing that we can do to change it. It doesn't matter what we say or do. It's just gonna get worse and worse. And the Bible does say it'll grow worse. But how about setting a goal? God, what can I do to bring a change in this situation? What can I do to bring a change in the attitude that the world has in a given situation? And God can speak to your heart. You can make a difference. Father, help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, that we'll set goals. God, that talent that you gave us, that pound that you gave us, God, we're going to take and we're going to invest. God, we're going to be busy for you, for the kingdom of God. Be with each one of us today, God. Lord, as we go forth, that we go forth in the power and in the might of the Spirit, God. Lord, that we be found to be a faithful servant. God, that we'll have no shame when we stand before you, God. Lord, we can stand there with our head held high, God, knowing that we gave it our best shot. We did what we could with what you gave us, God. We did the best we could. Lord, help us to be faithful. God, be with each one as we leave this place today. Keep your hand upon us, God. Let your love and your mercy go before us, and help us, God, to be called out. We thank you for it. And everybody say, amen. You're called out today.